This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, there's a lot of pressure. There's pressure on Chris Paul. There's pressure on James Harden. There's pressure on Russell Westbrook. There's pressure on Mike D'Antoni. There's pressure on Daryl Morey. When there's a Game 7 tomorrow, the pressure is very clear. But is there pressure on the Houston Texans following what the Kansas City Chiefs did yesterday, 9 days away from the two teams meeting right here on Sports Radio 610? The Kansas City Chiefs locked up Andy Reid and their shot caller, Brett Veach. And John Lopez immediately went, put on his localized shades,
yep,
and said that the pressure is now on for the Houston Texans. Explain yourself, J-Lo.
Yeah, as my guy Landry Locker would say, the question is, what do the people think? I'm curious what you think. 713-572-4610. Text or call, of course. Here's where my mind went. Andy Reid gets a six-year extension. Well-deserved. Super Bowl winner, one of the greatest offensive minds there is. Brett Veach, general manager, gets a six-year extension as well. Obviously, he's putting together a squad. It's not just Patrick Mahomes. It's getting Patrick Mahomes, but it's also surrounding Patrick Mahomes with everything and getting these deals done. Chris Jones is signed. We know the story. Mahomes is signed. On and on and on it goes. So I'm sitting there looking at the Chiefs. The hottest commodity in coaching right now is their offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. Now, I know Andy Reid has a huge say in the offense and calling plays, etc. But Reid has talked about how much he's giving, how much responsibility he's given Bieniemy. He's got that reputation. Eric Bieniemy is going to be a head coach in the NFL in 2021. I mean, would you disagree with that?
I don't.
Okay. So if we're taking that as fact, or likely, he's going to be a head coach in 2021, I think it should make the pressure ramp up even more on, not necessarily Bill O'Brien, he's going to be under pressure no matter what, but on Cal McNair. I think Cal McNair has to look at the possibilities here and think, do I want, depending on what Bill O'Brien does, I'm going to have to evaluate everything he does, everything Jack Easterby does this year, even more so, because there's going to be a head coach out there who may well be going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, for that matter, but you don't really necessarily think about that. But knowing what we know about both these guys, Eric Bieniemy, never been a head coach, offensive play caller, but still in cahoots with Andy Reid, and just a guy that's an offensive mind, never been a head coach, and Bill O'Brien has been a head coach for 6 years, won 10 games multiple times. Would you rather in 2021 hitch up your wagon to Bill O'Brien or Eric Bieniemy if you're the Houston Texans?
I mean, I don't know much about Eric Bieniemy.
Well, that's not the question.
The
question is not what do you know about Eric Bieniemy. The question is, knowing what you know about Eric Bieniemy, would you rather hitch your wagon to him in 2021 or Bill O'Brien in 2021?
Can I see what Bill O'Brien looks like in this new role, in this walk-around role?
Well, that's my point. To be honest, that's my whole point. I think it escalates the importance of the Texans taking another step in 2020, this coming season. And if I'm Cal McNair, I'm looking hard, man. Because this is an organization that has missed out on some really good coaches by sticking to their guy. I'm a big Gary Kubiak fan. But had they not stuck with Gary Kubiak, they could have had Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. And there have been other coaches that have gone on to become big-time, you know, NFL head coaches. There's some that have not, but there's some that have. So the question is, what would you do?
So you're saying that the fact that the Chiefs have locked up Andy Reid for six more years means that Eric Bieniemy could more likely be the coach of the Texans. Like the chances at least increase. Not that it's going to happen, but they increase. Even
well,
if
let
it's
me,
just 1%,
let me put it this way.
They increase.
Let me put it this way. Those extensions mean Eric Bieniemy is going to be on the market after this season. 100% in my view, he will be on the market. The second part of that is I think the fact that he's going to be on the market multiplies the amount of pressure on Bill O'Brien to take another step in 2020. Because if he doesn't, if he hits his head on the ceiling again like he has multiple times, I'd just as well cut bait and bring in Eric Bieniemy, especially for knowing what he's done for Patrick Mahomes, knowing what he's done with the offense, you know, backs out of the backfield and speed and stretching the field, knowing that Deshaun Watson is here. That's the thing. He's going to be on the market. More pressure on Bill O'Brien to prove it or else.
9 days away from Texans versus Chiefs, Eric Bieniemy definitely going to be a head coach in the NFL next season, assuming he wants to, unless he wants to just be the offensive coordinator and then find the ideal situation. Another name for me, and look, we're not firing Bill O'Brien. We're just talking about what yesterday's news means for the Kansas City Chiefs in regards to Eric Bieniemy. The other thing that this could mean, two things come to mind when I put on the localized shades, because that's what we do. Number one, if I'm the Texans, I think a matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs in January or February, like last year, could actually be this news could actually benefit the Texans because there could be distractions where Eric Bieniemy is already signing with another team or Eric Bieniemy during the week is going and interviewing with other teams. Mm-hmm. So if you face them in the divisional round or if you get to the AFC Championship game and you're facing the Chiefs, there could be that distraction because it seems like a foregone conclusion that he's going to be gone. The other thing is you talk about this contract extension making Eric Bieniemy more likely to be an NFL coach. If I'm Cal McNair, and let's just say that he is looking for a new coach. Let's just say anybody. Let's just say Jacksonville.
Sure.
Okay, because Jacksonville, we think, is
going to
be
they're
going to
have
a
coach. Yeah.
I think an event that made a guy that's been linked to the NFL for many years more likely to entertain the possibility of going to the league is the cancellation of the Pac-12 football season in David Shaw. Mm-hmm. I could see David Shaw. I've liked David Shaw as a potential NFL candidate for a long time, much like I did Harbaugh at the end of his Stanford run. David Shaw started out in the NFL. He's got a little bit of an NFL background. He's been comfortable at Stanford. But with their season being canceled, with all the openings right now, whether it's Jacksonville, whether it's somebody else that's looking for a coaching opportunity, if you told me that I could bring in somebody, David Shaw would be the guy that I would that intrigues me more than Eric Bieniemy.
That's a great point because their season is in jeopardy. Well, it's probably not going to happen.
They're not even talking about that. They keep talking about Big Ten's coming back. Yeah. They're not even bringing up the Pac-12.
It's not even talked about. That's a good point. I mean, look, eventually, you know, it's dumb. I think you and I agree that it's dumb for a guy like Dabo Swinney to ever leave Clemson. But coaches like that next level, man. Hey, I can't explain it. It's just that competitive nature in them. You know, Dabo could be out there. You know, David Shaw is a great point I hadn't thought of. Eric Bieniemy as well. And then you got Bill O'Brien sitting here. I think the pressure is ramping up on and by the way, the pressure has ramped up on Cal McNair. You know, it's easy now that there's some distance now between the DeAndre Hopkins, you know, trade, and there's more optimism because there's always optimism in the regular season. People are, you know, saying, well, you know what, this you know, and players are saying as well, Deshaun Watson included, you know, that this offense is going to be balanced, more spread out, harder to predict. That's all fine and good, but just remember how this city felt the day and the day after and the week after DeAndre Hopkins was traded. Texans go 0-2 and get waxed against Kansas City and Baltimore. It's going to be right back as intense as it was then, if not more so.
And we could use some intensity, honestly.
The venom, the anger.
We could use some sports venom. Yeah. I mean, we could welcome it. It's been a long time coming. It's been a crazy offseason. The The other thing about Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby is obviously Jack Easterby is doing a lot of GM duties. Bill O'Brien's coach. Does Bill O'Brien having both titles, does that help him maybe get a longer leash? Because Jack Easterby, you could just name Jack Easterby GM and all of a sudden you could sell it as something new? Or does that hurt his chances to remain as head coach if things don't go according to plan starting 9 days from now?
I think a lot of people would go nuts if the proverbial kicking the can down the road turns into, well, let's give Easterby an extension and make him the general manager. See how that goes now. Let's make Bill O'Brien a coach again and only worry about coaching again. People would go nuts. He's been a coach.
What? People have been going nuts for a long time.
Well, but the thing is, he's been a coach with a general manager, and it didn't work.
Going nuts got to do with any decision that they make down there?
Well, it hasn't so far, but I think they're hearing what people are saying. There's a lot of people that are, made their thoughts very clear to the Houston Texans directly. I'm talking about season ticket holder. We've heard those calls. I don't know how much stock you put into, I'm canceling my tickets, because that's always a dicey and easy thing to say and a dicey proposition. But they are getting and have gotten calls about Bill O'Brien and what the hell are you doing? And it's just going to multiply if all of a sudden, you know what? Let's change what we did last year and let's just have Bill O'Brien coach again.
Some situations, you wipe the slate clean and you just move on and you forget about like mistakes of the past. And then in other situations, you just keep it bottled up. Mm-hmm. And as soon as something happens to piss you off, it all just comes out. I feel like a lot of people in anticipation of the football season, because it's been a long time coming, they're like optimistic. There's always that optimism.
Yeah, now's the time.
And it's like, all right, let's go. Let's see what happens with the Chiefs and Ravens. But
if they go boom, boom,
then all of a sudden the DeAndre Hopkins comes back, the Clowney comes back, the draft comes back, the trades, all that comes back. Mm-hmm. It ain't gone.
And it isn't
going to
go anywhere.
It's just bottled up.
It'll take a month or more for it even to subside. Because if they go 0-2 and get thumped, you know, by two teams that would then be proving how much better they are than the Texans, they can win the next four, and people would be like, yeah, okay, sure. You know, whatever. What about the Ravens and the Chiefs?
8448 on the text line. Who's the GM if you let go of O'Brien?
Oh, it's a clean slate. It would be a clean slate. It would have to be.
2900 says the fact. The fact though is John that the Texans got waxed against both of those teams last year with Hopkins. Talking about the Chiefs and the
Ravens.
That's
why I'm saying I understand.
Although they did beat the Chiefs once.
They did beat the Chiefs once. But what I'm saying is, right now is the season of optimism. Right. As soon as it goes sour, it's going to go sour just as bad as it was back then.
713-572-4610. 8379, look, if they reach their goal, win the division, O'Brien will be extended.
God.
What if a division title gets B.O.B. and Easterby an extension?
What are division titles for?
You tell me, sir.
Division titles are for losers.
Flat no out. Comment on that.
Flat out.
COG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. 9 days away from Texans versus Chiefs. We're in the single digits, baby. We're one night away from two of the best words in all of sports. Game 7. So much to dissect next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
You know, when it gets to clutch time, fourth quarter, some people built for it. Some people shy away from it. Some people built for it, man, and we're just gonna keep hooping.
Salt. Meat wounds. Rockets fold in crunch time. Chris Paul, former Rockets, as recent as a year ago, 15 points, 3 of 3 from three-point range. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, a combined 10 points. Thunder win, on to Game 7, mañana.
It's neither of us expected this to happen, especially after the Rockets went up 2-0. But I think what you're really seeing here is when you get to the postseason, and this is not a new thought. I mean, this is something that's been talked about with the Rockets for a long time. Everything changes in the postseason. How the game is called has changed. the type of game is played, changes. It always comes down to the final few minutes, it seems like, in the postseason. And, well, the final few minutes is not a good time for James Harden. It just statistically over the course of time is not a good time for him. So it has been pretty good for Chris Paul.
LeBron James is just sitting there watching.
Yep.
Chilling, getting massages, hanging out, relaxing. It's just crazy how every single knock on James Harden and Russell Westbrook in crunch time, as Chris Paul is going out there and just willing his team to victory, every single weakness from James Harden and Chris Paul was just blended together. It was almost like a Rocket hater smoothie or something like that, where you just throw in some turnovers from Russell Westbrook, some passiveness from James Harden, some lack of communication from Mike D'Antoni, the air ball and bad shots by Russell Westbrook. You threw it in there and you just blended it together, and that's what we saw yesterday.
I mean, look, the best way to change these narratives is to change them yourself. I mean, to do something you haven't done a lot of, and that's what's on the Rockets for Game 7.
Boy, I tell you, it's been a tough year for a lot of people. This 2020 has sucked.
Yeah,
I'm not breaking any news. We're now 66% through it because it is September 1st, so hopefully the final third is better than the first two-thirds. But I don't think very many people have had a worse year than Tillman Fertitta. You had Daryl Morey cost you all kinds.
Cost the league.
Of foreign currency in China with his comments. You had the COVID, which impacted the restaurant industry. It impacted professional sports among all his other businesses. And the Rockets did not pick up the Tillmanisms.
Well, I'm a fighter. That's my culture. And I think the longer that I own this team, they're going to pick up more of my culture is that we had them. We should have stepped on their throat the other night and cut their throat, okay? It's not let's make a few shots and win. It's step on their throat and let's take it back to Houston and end it in six. And we'll pick up a few Tillmanisms along the way.
They didn't pick up the Tillmanisms. They didn't step on the throats.
They had another chance in a game six. Do the same thing.
They had a chance in a game three to do this.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying last night, I mean, what were they up? 5 with about 3 minutes left, something like that?
They were up. I mean, at one point there was a 16-3 run by the Thunder, which
I'm talking about like in the last minute. Talk about stepping on their throat.
There's just some careless turnovers. It was just bad. But the Tillmanisms have not been picked up, which brings us to this. And I mean, I think it seems like popular notion that Mike D'Antoni's not going to be back no matter what. Whether they win tomorrow or not, he's just basically treading water. They don't appear to want Mike D'Antoni to be the long-term coach. But what about Daryl Morey? Is Daryl Morey, if Tillman Fertitta has to sit there and trust his basketball guy, who is Daryl Morey, to tell him that Chris Paul and James Harden cannot mesh together to the point where you bring in a guy in Russell Westbrook who the entire city of Houston and Daryl Morey himself have criticized for the MVP he won over James Harden. If you acted like it was so desperate that Chris Paul, one, couldn't stay healthy and two, couldn't coexist with James Harden, if Tillman Fertitta has to sit there in a year in which everything that could go wrong for him has gone wrong, and to cap it off, he has to sit there and watch Chris Paul stick it to his basketball team. Do you really think Tillman Fertitta is going to be cool? And keep in mind the China thing, too, because he's brought that up a lot of times. Do you really think Tillman Fertitta is going to be thrilled that he has Daryl Morey running his basketball team?
No, but, I mean, what is he going to do? Keep in mind, you're going to have to run it back. Outside of making another dramatic move, Daryl Morey, he brought in Westbrook. He's got Harden. Harden's not going anywhere. The only move that you can make is to change it to, a head coach, to change head coaches. I have the weirdest, feelings toward Daryl Morey. because I'm like everybody else in the media. He's been nice to me.
No, you're not like everybody else in the media, because everybody else in the media, at times seems like kind of a mouthpiece.
Well, that's true, and I'm not doing that. Let me put it this way. In this respect, I'm like everybody else in the media. I've had some very nice, you know, interactions with Daryl Morey. He was texting me yesterday, you know, about a couple of things not related to basketball. So I know Daryl Morey.
Send each other gifts or something?
Well, shout out to Daryl, to be honest. I don't know if he wanted this out there, but I'll say it. We're trying to coordinate some efforts to get some supplies to Louisiana.
Okay.
And Daryl knows a couple of guys that have been trying to reach out and get some help out of Louisiana. Right. So I was directing him to some people. So that's my relationship with Daryl. It's a good one. I like the guy, just like a lot of people in the media. But I keep going back to this. I mean, fair is fair, and we got to be fair. He got here in 2006 to be assistant general manager for Carroll Dawson. He took over as general manager in 2007. He's had Jeff Van Gundy, Rick Adelman, Kevin McHale, and now Mike D'Antoni. And they haven't won squat. He's had Yao Ming, Tracy McGrady.
I don't hold that as much against him.
All I'm saying is what? Okay, all I'm telling you is the facts. These are the players that were on his team, you know, that he was a part of as general manager. He could have done anything with as general manager. Yao Ming, Tracy McGrady, Dwight Howard, brought in Carmelo Anthony twice. Actually was successful getting him the second time that he brought him in. Carmelo. Obviously, Harden, Chris Paul, now Russell Westbrook. They haven't won anything under Daryl Morey's watch.
That's the big picture. I'm just looking at it from Fertitta perspective, because when Tillman Fertitta bought the Rockets, Chris Paul was already here. So you had Chris Paul, you had James Harden, you got to a championship, or you got to a Western Conference Finals, Chris Paul got hurt. This year, has there been a worse let's pretend that Chris Paul sticks it to the Rockets tomorrow. I don't think I still think the Rockets win this series, but let's just pretend that Chris Paul, who you got rid of, who you didn't think could stay healthy, who you didn't think could coexist with James Harden, you traded him for Russell Westbrook. He comes here. Just looking at it, because you're laying out the total resume, but just from this year's perspective.
Just the things he did that affected Fertitta.
Daryl Morey opens his mouth or tweets about Hong Kong, and that costs the NBA a lot of money, puts him in an awkward position that they're still in right now. Tillman Fertitta's brought that up a lot. So you did that. You trade Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook.
Who then beats you
in a game seven. Tell me a GM who's had a worse year than that in recent history.
There's not, especially considering the expectations. But again, all you can do is either clean house or run it back with another coach. Because we both assume, and I think most people do, that Mike D'Antoni will be gone, which is unfortunate. But you're not going to get rid of Westbrook and Harden.
Okay. I agree with you, but I will say this, because we're talking about this year. If you think that maybe the Rockets, maybe James Harden, whoever – misplayed this Chris Paul thing based on what you're watching right now, it's going to be the exact same thing when they move on from Mike D'Antoni. You're going to realize very, very quickly.
Yeah, the devil you know, man.
It will be
the devil you know.
It's going to be just as misplayed if that happens. So I'm warning them. You've already trusted Morey and made one decision. Doesn't look great right now. It can change. Be careful about the other big decision that you're about to make. Let's go to Antonio real quick. Antonio, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, okay, you guys, real quick. There's four levels. You got your hustle player, role player, stars. You got your all-stars. You got the superstars. And you got your legends.
I feel like that's like six layers, Antonio.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Tony.
you got your Harden and Westbrook. Those are your all-stars. Chris Paul, you know, and other closeout players are your superstars, and your legends are your Michael Jordan, your Kobe, who does both. We don't have that leader who's an all-star. I'm just gonna leave it at that. Y'all have a good day.
There we go.
He's talking killers.
He's talking killers.
He's talking killers.
You got it. He's talking about it. IT, yeah. All caps. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fun game seven tomorrow. There's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about. And I'm telling you, if Chris Paul sticks it to the Rockets, it's hard to imagine a GM having a worse year than the one Daryl Morey's had. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Garrett Cole, my gosh, there was a time when we used to like you in this town. Now you are nothing short of pathetic. We'll hear from Garrett Cole. We'll also give you the latest on the Texans as well as the status of Leonard Fournette next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Garrett Cole sounds broken. It's pitiful to hear what the former Astros pitcher has become with the New York Yankees. Just listen to this. This is Garrett Cole after Tampa Bay collected 4 runs on 8 hits over 5 innings against him. 10 of the 15 balls were put in play with exit velos of 95 miles per hour or greater. So they're not only hitting him, they're hitting the ball hard.
They're smacking it.
He has a 3.91 ERA right now. That would be fourth best in the Astros rotation. Zach Greinke's is 2.68. Framber Valdez has a 2.35. Christian Javier has a 3.77. Garrett Cole has not lived up to his contract early with the Yankees. Struggles happen. But sounding as pathetic as Garrett Cole did yesterday is something that I did not anticipate happening. Here is Garrett Cole after yesterday's outing, just talking about what was going wrong in his mindset. And I don't know if anyone gave him a tissue, but if you listen to him,
it's awful.
Damn sure needed one.
I feel really good today. So that's part of the reason why is even more undesirable, I guess. Like, the adjustment is either to throw a different pitch or, like, you know, move the sights or just be better. I mean, trying to throw a fastball away, you miss a couple inches off the plate. By and large, you executed a fastball away. But the bottom line is you do that 4 times, the guy's on first base. So there's got to be an adjustment at some point there. I think mechanically it was as effortless as it's been this year so far. So, that's part of one of the things that Aaron said that he was encouraged about, and the same with Matt, just how easy and fluid the ball was coming out. Just got to command the zone better, command the leverage better.
Okay.
He sounds like a guy that's trying to say, I just made a few mistakes, but he made a lot of mistakes. And they were smacked.
I mean, they are teeing up on him. But he feels like, as the pathetic display yesterday at the podium by Garrett Cole continues, he feels like, J-Lo, wait for this. Other teams might know what's coming.
I mean, the home runs, the doubles, it's just, whenever I'm over the plate, the hitter's very certain of what's coming, and whether that's an approach or, trying to get an edge with a tip, or whether it's just, it's a good swing on a good pitch and maybe some bad luck, maybe a combination of all three. I haven't really put my thumb on it, but I'm certainly aware of it and certainly trying to get ahead of it.
And just to make sure, you don't think you're tipping anything, are you?
I think we all pretty much tip pretty much every game in one way or another. So,
yeah.
But I mean, James, how many pitches a game? I don't know. Some games, the other team has an edge, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitches. Some days it might be more. Some hitters look for it, some hitters don't. I mean, I think the point is there's several different factors that are contributing to the certainty with which guys are getting their swings off in certain counts. I'm looking to address that.
I think he kind of caught himself and walked it back a little bit. He was saying, I don't know if I'm tipping, but they all know what's coming. He's making it clear, like, it's as if they're cheating, but he didn't want to go all the way in on that. So he said, yeah, we all kind of tip pitches a little bit. But something isn't right. Something is not right.
Aaron Boone might have had one of the worst quotes I've heard from a manager in a long time. As far as coddling someone, you just heard broken Garrett Cole. Listen to Aaron Boone's explanation of what's going on with Garrett Cole when asked about all the home runs that the former Astros pitcher has been giving up.
Look, it's a little surprising. I think that'll, as we go here, I think hopefully that continues to come down as he just continues to execute a little bit better. But I also think, anytime you're going up against an ace like Garrett, from a game planning standpoint, you know, I think guys sell out for some things a little differently than they normally would. And sometimes those mistakes can turn into slug. And so I think he's been bitten by that, obviously, a little bit here in a few outings, but I don't expect it to become a trend.
So the manager of the New York Yankees, what did they call themselves? 713-572, what was it? Dirtbags or something like that? Grinder? Savages.
Savages.
The manager of the effing Savages, who Aaron Boone, just said, maybe Gerrit Cole is struggling because teams just try harder against him. Let me ask you this, Aaron Boone. Are teams going to start trying less hard? Like, are teams going to tone it back a notch for Gerrit Cole, the highest paid pitcher with the Yankees? Give me an absolute break, Aaron Boone.
I think he's basically saying opposing teams know he's so good that they're basically closing their eyes and swinging hard in case they might hit something, and they are. I mean, he's basically saying they're just taking their shots, you know?
They're trying harder?
Shots in the dark.
I mean, so is that going to stop?
No.
Is that not the same for any ace?
Absolutely not.
Like, is that going to wear off? Is there a shelf life to that? So Aaron Boone says teams are just trying too hard. Gerrit Cole says teams just know what's coming. I can't believe this is even happening right now.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on with the damn Yankees? Like, this is pathetic.
Well, they're injured like crazy. And
I get it.
They haven't really won in a long time.
They're a talented squad, but my gosh. Yeah. You got broken Gerrit Cole. You got Aaron Boone. Listen to superfan Nick Turturro. So you've heard the theory of Gerrit Cole. Everybody knows what's coming. And if you throw four balls, you really execute it. I don't know what the F he's talking about there. I kind of do, though. And Aaron Boone says other teams are trying hard. What's your theory there, Nicky?
Pitching in New York. It's not like pitching in Pittsburgh. It's not like pitching in Houston. Pitching for the Yankees, more pressure. Come on, Cole. A lot of money.
So it's the pressure.
That's a lot of excuses going on, man.
It's the pressure.
Yeah.
Now, I believe in that New York pressure, but my question is this. How much more does that increase as soon as fans start going into ballparks? As soon as New York media is allowed to go in the clubhouse and they have a little more free reign, how much more does that increase? Because you can make a case, and I think this is the case that's been made for the Astros rookies.
Mm-hmm.
This is the least amount of pressure that you are going to face as a ball player, maybe ever. Because, yes, you're playing more games, but there's no fans. The media isn't coming into clubhouses. You're basically just playing baseball. The pressure's going to increase if you're Gerrit Cole. It's going to increase for the Astros, in fairness, once there's opposing teams and opposing medias get their crack at them.
Yeah, but, you know, let's be fair. I mean, Yankees are different. It doesn't matter if there's fans there or not. It's just a whole different world. There's still social media.
I mean, guys have
media.
Fallen off. Guys have gone to New York and just fallen off.
Yes. There's still social media.
And I think it's possible.
There's still, you know, a lot of media. There's still a lot of fans barking at guys. So they're feeling a lot of pressure. Not necessarily the in-stadium, you suck stuff, but they're feeling a lot of pressure, no question.
2286 on the text line says, you love Yankees so much, you stay talking about us, bro. No, I really do love what the Yankees used to be.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really do love what the Yankees used to be. I mean, it used to be the marquee franchise, the most historic franchise ever. I have respected the Yankees, but basically what the Yankees have become since they put up that new stadium and they won the World Series the first year of it, they're basically Cowboys fans now. Like, it's you're missing the point.
Landry.
I mean, y'all are hanging your hat on World Series that got there before your parents even met. Like, but before your grandparents probably even had intercourse. You're talking about like 1913
I mean,
World
you're
Series.
You're going to be in midday forever.
It's embarrassing. It's really pathetic. Like, the Yankees are like the girl that was homecoming queen that everybody wanted to date that shows up to your 10-year reunion, and she's fat as hell, she's lost about 8 teeth, and she's developed a coke habit and a drinking problem. Like, that's basically what the Yankees have become. So, yeah, I do love what the Yankees used to be, but what they are now is disgusting.
Like, it's sad.
It grosses me out. It grosses me out what they've become. Because, yes, I did respect it. It's pathetic now. It's embarrassing.
It is. Embarrassing. You're not right. Because they all of a sudden they look not as – not classy isn't the right word I'm looking for.
They're just pitiful.
They don't look as regal. You know, because the Yankees, love them or hate them,
crying about cheating,
they were regal. You know, they no names on the backs of jerseys, no
facial hair.
Ooh, maybe that's it.
Maybe he needs his facial hair
with Garrett Cole. They cut his hair and
possible. I mean, I said that it's possible that maybe he would fall off.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Garrett's a good pitcher. It's just crazy what they become. Now, they have had a lot of injuries. I'll be very fair to them. Astros have had a lot of injuries. Yankees have had a ton. But it's just the whole mindset there. It's weird. It is weird. I never expected that it would come to this with the New York Yankees. But, you know, there's an expiration date on most things. And the dignity of the Yankees and the dignity of their fan base and the dignity of Garrett Cole, dignity of Aaron Boone. Maybe it's just dead.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's dead.
Maybe it is.
Steinbrenner's just going over in his grave. It happens.
Is this a little bit of Yankee envy, Landry?
It's pity. I'm sorry.
It's pity.
It's sad. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. 9 days away from Texans versus Chiefs. John McClain came on and threw out the possibility of Jack Easterby getting a contract extension and not Bill O'Brien. Maybe to align those guys? Do you really think that these guys – do you think this allegiance could actually be broken up to where these guys aren't a package deal?
Could, I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Well, we did ask you. But I think what's going on is – what he was trying to say was – they might try to just align their contracts. I mean, they're a tandem. They're a team. They're a package deal. So they're just trying to align them. I was shocked at what you just said a little while ago. Shocked, I tell you, when you said that the Texans, if they have a season identical to this year, this past year, that you could see them giving him a 4 or 6 year extension like Andy Reid?
Yes,
are you kidding me?
I could. Did I say? I'm not saying it should happen, but yes, I do think if the Texans tread water and if the Texans have a good have like a season like last year where they win a playoff game, I could see a press release coming out where Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien have gotten contract extensions. That would shock you?
It would shock me. It would shock me if they gave Bill O'Brien – set Jack Easterby aside. If they go 10-6 and are ousted in the divisional round of the postseason and they give him a 4-year extension?
Yeah. Why does this sound crazy to you?
Because that would be 11 years of Bill O'Brien.
Wouldn't shock me.
Without getting to an AFC championship game.
Wouldn't shock me.
11 years?
Wouldn't shock me. Marvin Lewis was in Cincinnati for 10.
Well, and you can talk about Jeff Fisher, but at least Jeff Fisher got to a Super Bowl.
Wouldn't shock me.
It would shock me.
Why?
Shock me. Because.
Based on what?
Because he's banging his head on the ceiling. We know what he is. He's got to prove us wrong before you give. Prove everyone wrong before you give him a contract.
Got a 4-year extension after a 4-12 year.
I would be shocked.
He got a 4-year extension after a 4-12 year. Now, I know there were a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
But he did get a 4-year extension after going 4-12.
Mm-hmm. I would be shocked.
I just don't see how. I truly think that they got it, man. They got it the way they want it. Things are lined up.
Okay, so this is what they want. They want good, not great.
I don't know if that's what they want.
Well, that's what you just said.
They like
that's what they've been.
They like this organizational structure.
They've been good, not great. So let's give them a 4-year extension.
What does the sales pitch feel like to you? If you were just a guy and I just gave you a pen and paper and I told you I want you to listen to every Jack Easterby press conference, I want you to listen to every Bill O'Brien press conference,
right?
And I'm going to give you a quiz afterwards. If question number one was, do you feel like Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien are more proud of what's happened in the last 6 years or more optimistic about what's going to happen in the future? How would you answer that question? Just based on listening to them, hearing them,
I think they're more
and hearing
optimistic.
What they have to say.
I'm not going to be unfair. I mean, I think they're on more.
Easterby said that this organization is ahead of most organizations.
I know. And Bill O'Brien
is really blessed.
And Bill O'Brien has said, you know, repeatedly how many division titles they've won. I get it.
So you think they're more optimistic about what's to come instead of
right.
hanging their hat and justifying what's happening?
No, I really do.
Okay.
I'm just trying to be fair here.
Okay.
Because they love their quarterback. That's why.
Okay. When I listen to them, I feel like they think everything's set up perfectly. I feel like they think that this is already the way to go. And again, this is just podium critic type stuff.
Right.
Where I'm judging them based on their words. But I feel like when I listen to these guys, they're more proud of what the situation has been as opposed to optimistic about what's moving forward. Now, they don't say the team sucks, obviously, or anything like that. But that's the feeling I get. They feel like they've done a good job.
They've won a lot of games. I think they absolutely feel like they've done a good job. Bill O'Brien has repeatedly also said, do you have any idea how hard it is to win in the NFL? Landry, do you have any idea? We've heard all that.
No clue.
So I think he's pretty proud of the 9-7 and 10-6 years, pretty proud of the division titles, but I still think they're probably more optimistic about what's coming. I hope so, anyway.
Talking yourself out of it?
No, I mean, I would hope that they are.
I don't see any way that they don't get at least 2 years.
2 years.
2 years.
Well, that's what John McClain's been saying. That'll be 2 years. My point that started all this.
But I think that if they have a decent year, they're getting extensions.
No way. Okay. No way.
Okay, remember this.
No way. Mark it, Figgy. No,
honestly, remember this. Seriously. Mark this, Figgy. Put this in the archive. Say, title it extension, because I'm telling you. I'm not saying what should happen.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
I feel like the text line's getting it twisted. I'm not saying what should happen. I'm just saying, based on what we know about this organization, based on what we see, if they win a playoff game, or even if they win a division title.
If they win a playoff game, it'll be Groundhog Day.
I don't disagree. I'm just telling you, don't be shocked when the extensions come. I'm telling you, I'm trying to prepare you for this.
Oh, I'm
okay?
ready.
I'm not.
I've seen it all, man.
I'm preparing myself for this. Don't be shocked when the extensions come. Do you really think that they would let Bill O'Brien coach in the last year of his deal?
Well, no. I'm talking 4 years. You said 4 to 6 years. No, I don't think any coach should coach in the last year of their deal. That's why Mike D'Antoni's gone, right? But I think I could see them maybe in extending him another year, say, okay, just for the sake of, you know, to see what happens in 2021 is all.
What do you think Cal McNair wants this year? What do you think Cal McNair's ultimate goal is this year?
He's got to get to a AFC championship game.
Okay, so that's if you ask Cal McNair what the goal was, you think he'd say AFC title game?
Got to.
Okay. Because
if they don't, we've read that story. We know how the book ends. And it's the same old book.
You said you already knew how the book ended.
Yeah, I did. Until he proves wrong, I do. It's every year, man. Or on the good years, it's every year.
Just feel like there's a sense there that I haven't seen since I've been covering this squad, and I think they're very, 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 very happy with the way stuff is going.
Oh no, they are. But you can't keep doing this.
And I also think that there are certain places where the extra stuff that you've talked about with a guy like a Jack Easterby, there are places where that might rub some people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you look at the text line when he has a press conference, or potentially whenever a player is playing a football game and it's a little bit too much, or riding the bus to a game. But I think there are also places where that extra stuff pays off. And I think when it comes to organizational power, when it comes to stability, when it comes to getting the trust of ownership, especially this ownership, I feel like that can pay off. And I feel like that might be welcomed a little bit more favorably than it is when he's speaking publicly to fans, when he's speaking publicly to media types, and maybe even when he's on the sidelines, Jay.
Again, just compare it to other organizations that you consider consistently successful. Have they fired coaches that have done what Bill O'Brien has done? Yes. The answer is yes. You know, teams that have a higher standard have fired coaches, that have done what Bill O'Brien's done. So that's all I'm saying. Your standards need to be higher.
COG, John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Let's go around the NFL. Bill Belichick, he's coming to town this season, and I don't know what to make of this new guy that I'm hearing right now. I'm sorry you didn't get this type of love,
Tom Brady.
I'm really sorry you didn't get this type of love, TB12, but My gosh, what happened to the old Bill Belichick? Around the league next.
And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the decisions that I think are the best for the football team. T-E-A-M as in team.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.